We're here with John Lear, and today we're going to be talking about secrets of the moon. John, for the longest time, I've been studying the moon, and after going through the projects and being in the Air Force, and I came to the realization that there's definitely a lot going on up there that they don't want us to know about.
The moon is a spaceship. It was built on Jupiter about 38 million years ago, and between the time it was built and 15,000 years ago, it's been touring around our solar system. Our solar system, we're told by NASA there's 9 planets. There's actually 40. There's the Earth plus 39. And each of those planets has a civilization, and each of those planets has moons that have civilizations. There's so much going on out there that, you know, we could not possibly grasp how much is going on in our solar system. There's so much air traffic control. It's fantastic. The amount of trade that goes on, both technologically and sociologically, it's just amazing all the stuff that's going on. So it was made on Jupiter.
By who? By what race?
By, I don't know.
Just some DT race, yeah.
And it's been towed around to the different moons doing exactly what it's doing now, and that is monitoring whoever lives on there and abducting or doing whatever it is they would like to do. Now, it doesn't have its own propulsion. It has to be towed. And our moon was towed into its orbit now about 15,000 years ago, just after the Ice Age, the last Ice Age. And when man first became aware of the moon, there was, or aware of the skies, there was no moon, and then there was 2 moons, and then there was 1 moon. And we think that the 2 moons was the vehicle that towed our moon into space. There's a guy named Norman Berggren, who's passed away now, very knowledgeable, had so many degrees and works with so many of our aerospace companies doing different things. He lived in Los Altos Hills, which was south of San Francisco, and worked at Lockheed, retired in 1986, and got a hold of some of the Voyager photos of Saturn's rings. And he wrote The Ringmakers of Saturn.
Right. Is that about the fuel coming out from the rings?
Yeah. The spaceship,
yeah.
There's 3 of them that he saw. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest is 30,000 miles long and 2,400 miles in diameter. Anyway, I thought it'd be really nice to meet this guy, and I wrote him, and I just happened to be going to the UFO conference in San Jose in 2005. And I went by his house, met him, and we became friends, very good friends over the years. Unfortunately, passed away a couple years ago, but in the back part of The Ringmakers of Saturn, he discussed how the moon was towed into its orbit and his proof. And his proof is that Mare Orientale, one of the craters on the back, is not actually a crater, but it's a place. It has concentric rings.
Right.
And he thinks that's where they grabbed onto it. And he proposed that an EMV, electromagnetic vehicle, towed it into place. I said, where do you think it is now? And he said, I think they parked it on the far side until they're ready to use it again. So I started looking for it and found it immediately on the crater Tsiolkovsky. And Tsiolkovsky is on the far side. It has a very interesting history. NASA has airbrushed, completely changed the character of that crater right. 8 times. And you know, it's absolutely for sure that is the electromagnetic vehicle that towed the moon into orbit. You know, we wanted to go to the moon forever, but we have this Van Allen belt, which is in place around the Earth. We sent 3 rockets into space. They all had Geiger counters. Mm-hmm. 2 of them worked and gave us the readings, tremendously high readings of radiation. No way could we penetrate it. And there's 2 belts, one that goes from 500 to like 10,000, and the other goes from 10,000 to 25,000. And very, very lethal. Just right. No way could mankind do that. So I talked to him about that also. And the moon has a civilization. There's humans that live up there. And of course, everybody says, Oh, well, man, we did go to the moon.
Well, that, yeah, right.
No.
Well, that's why that was my next question.
We aren't the only humans in this universe, right. You know.
Well, are there any Earth humans there?
Not that I don't know. They've picked up thousands of Earth humans and taken them there for visits.
Right.
One of whom was Howard Menger in 1956. Mm-hmm. Howard Menger wrote a book called From Outer Space to You. And when I read the book, I thought it was really great. Found out that not only he was invited up there, but there was a number of other people, scientists and other people with him.
Was it the United States or was it a group of
different countries?
Different countries were all grouped together. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And they told him that they had been doing this for 100 years, taking people up. But, of course, mm-hmm. nobody wants to tell that story because nobody's going to believe it. And he became a advisor to the Pentagon when he got back because he knew so much about what was going on. They took him there for 2 weeks. First week is spent going into decompression because the breathable atmosphere is equal to about 15 to 18,000 feet here on Earth. And, of course, if they were just to plop you down there, you'd have a problem.
Yeah.
So what they do is gradually decompress them mm-hmm. until they're used to that, and then they bring them down, and mm-hmm. They take them all around the moon. There's a train that travels to what he calls a copper highway, and he doesn't know how it goes, but it's very silent and goes very fast. Mm-hmm. When they go out in the desert, the train stopped, and they were allowed to stand out at high noon to see that it wasn't as hot as NASA says.
Right.
And just very nice people, very advanced. And they've taken thousands of people over the years. Mm-hmm. People don't say that, won't tell their story, because they know that they won't be believed.
Yeah, no one's going to believe.
One of which, the daytime sky, is the color is saffron yellow. And
I heard about this, yeah.
And I wrote to him and sent him six shades of saffron yellow and asked him to put an X on the shade closest to the daytime color. That's another reason why we didn't go to the moon, because NASA, all their photos are black skies.
I know. I was going to talk about that. Yeah, what do you think about that? And how do they fake the whole...
And like Chang 4... the Chinese just put up there. I wrote a couple of pages on what a ridiculous set of photos that was. You know, they've got shadows going every which way on it.
Of course, all these pictures from the ISS and from satellites never have stars in the background either.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because they're just all...
Because, you know, they all, a lot of those pictures are fake. Everything that comes that we see from the moon basically all come from the Lunar Orbiter series. Boeing built that camera and spacecraft, and it was five of them were launched between 1965 and 1967. And they took thousands and thousands of photos and developed them as the craft was in orbit, and then they crashed into the moon. There's fantastic pictures. Complete sheer accident, have collected about 35 of them, and some of them have been airbrushed, but we can see more than anybody else would. That picture right down there by the electric piano,
mm-hmm.
Copernicus, it was a photo taken on angle, and it's a fantastic picture, but there's so much going on in there. When I first started talking about people on the moon, my friend Bob Lazar, who was the one that worked up at S4, he's skeptical. He doesn't believe anything unless he touches it.
Right.
And I was over at his house going on and on about this, and when I left, he said, John, you realize now that if any of this stuff is true, I'm going to have to kill myself. And I said, yeah, let's put that on paper. So I've got that note in my records here, and it says, I, Bob Lazar, promise to kill myself if any of John's moon stuff is true. And so when I sent to NASA to get that picture there, I was expecting an 8x10.
For sure,
bullshit. But somebody, somewhere along the line, sent me a 15x20 negative of that shot. I never did find out who it was, but this was in the early or mid-90s, and in Las Vegas, there was nobody that could give me a positive, a 15 by 20 negative.
Right.
The technology didn't exist.
Right.
So anyway, I had to wait 5 years for the technology to get to Las Vegas, and on the top right side, at the very top, there's what we call the parking garage. Mm-hmm. It's a three-story structure, about 300 feet in width, and it has a ramp on the side that looks like it's a parking ramp. So it's a joke. We call it the parking garage. So I took the 15 by 20 over to Bob's house, and he looks at it and says, "Damn, you're right, John. There's no way that's a natural thing." And I said, "Okay, Bob, now, we've been friends for a long time. And, I don't want to do anything that would upset you, but you did promise to kill yourself if any of my moon stuff was true." And he said, "Well, how can I get out of it?" And I said, "Well, just take this piece of paper and write, 'I, Bob Lazar, in return for not having to kill myself, do readily admit that there was a building on the top part of Copernicus.'"
What are they doing up there on that moon that you've heard of?
They farm, they do technological stuff, they build stuff, they trade the things that they produce with the other planets in our solar system. It's just, kind of like Earth, but they don't fight or, have any wars or anything or no social problems like that. Everything is organized, everybody gets along, and it's just a really, really nice place. They welcome Earth people. They actually go down and bring and get them, but they don't want to associate with them or try and change their ways. We're just the solar system morons.
Yeah, and, have to evolve on our own here.
And they send down spaceships from all the different planets to look at the Morons. It's like a zoo. Boy, you're not going to believe what we saw on Earth today. There's a war going on. Mm-hmm. And they sit there.
So on the moon, there are humans.
Yeah.
Because in my work, I've seen so many human ETs that are just, they're off, the DNA is just off a little bit. But they look just like us.
Right.
They're just like us.
Exactly. Right.
And who are these humans, and how long have they been there? Is this just an ongoing project?
Well, as I told you, the people that made us made a billion other civilizations of humans on different planets.
John, what do you know about the Germans and the moon?
It's a possibility that they went. They did have help from E.T.
Yes.
They definitely had saucers. Yeah.
I think they were probably one of the first to actually hook up with extraterrestrials.
Yeah, they got help, but apparently there's people say that they lost the war but won the peace. And the reason they say that is because they started with Operation Paperclip, which the Germans came over just before the end of the war, knew we were trying to build an atomic bomb. They had their own bomb, but they didn't have the initiator and all the other stuff to get it going. So they came over to us because they knew that we had everything else but the plutonium. And they said, "We'll give you the plutonium we have so you can bomb Japan. All we ask is that you permit 5,000 Nazis a citizenship after World War II.
And that's how the CIA got infiltrated by...
That became Operation Paperclip, and it was run by John Foster Dulles, who was Secretary of State, Alan Dulles, his brother, who was head of the CIA, and Eleanor Dulles, their sister, who was head of the Berlin desk for the U.S. Mm. And they funneled these 8,000 or 5,000 people, and probably more, gave them citizenship, and they began to infiltrate in the United States, took over NACA, which became NASA, and the only actual American that was ever in NASA was the administrator.
Well, as soon as Wannner von Braun came in, they took all the American scientists that get out.
The story was that as these 5,000 Nazis are being infiltrated, Hitler didn't commit suicide. At the end of World War II, Hitler first went to Spain and then to Argentina, and then somehow eventually ended up in the United States.
Was he in Antarctica too?
Yeah, he did go to Antarctica. I'm not sure what he found, probably the same as us, which is told to get out. Hitler died in the United States, I believe, at the Mayo Clinic in 1968. But up until that time, he was running the Nazi infiltration of the United States, which included Bell Helicopter, and was the reason for the Vietnam War, was the only reason. They faked the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which never happened. Right. It was all bullshit. And had their own space command agenda, starting with ripping off Mercury and Gemini, which most of those flights didn't go, mm-hmm. and then Apollo, wow. and the whole program for $40 billion, which was the money they used to start their own space command, mm-hmm. and was based at Kwajalein.
Why have we not returned back to space?
We never went, Emery. We never went. The Apollo missions didn't even orbit the moon. That was all fake. It was a tremendously technological way they did it. But there's no possible way that the Apollo missions could have gone. Now, we see the pictures that the astronauts sent back. Besides all the pictures perfectly framed from a Hasselblad camera in the middle of their stomach, which they couldn't aim, and every one is perfectly mm-hmm. framed, plus the fact that all the little marks, the Rizzo marks, are all in different places. It's just the scam. And the fact that the sky is black in the NASA pictures is not black. It's saffron yellow. When they landed at 10 o'clock in the morning, so they had to come up with a reason of the camera was set for the foreground and they couldn't get the stars. It was all BS. They just, you know.
Could you actually see the stars and the solar corona in spite of the glare?
We were never able to see stars from the lunar surface or on the daylight side of the moon by eye without looking through the optics. I don't recall during the period of time that we were photographing the solar corona what stars we could see.
I don't remember seeing any.
And then the astronauts' testimony when the three of them, the first interview they had after the Apollo 11 supposedly got back, you know, all three of them looked like they were scared to death, and they couldn't remember whether they saw stars. And then they said that, they saw it with the sextants that they had to determine their position. The computers they had those days, they had, 30K? Is that your memory?
Right.
All they had was 30K. Yeah. There's no way they're going to determine an orbit, even if it's pre-computed, from taking off from the moon to get into orbit and latch up with a space right. module. No
way. What do you think about the astronauts, like Buzz and them, who've come back and said when they arrived on the moon, there was, you know, they were ready to greet us?
That was a planted story by NASA to be used in the event that nobody was buying their story, and they needed to move in their space aliens there to right. get everybody interested in it. But Neil Armstrong never said a thing. Mm-hmm. His picture was never allowed. Mm-hmm. He never allowed his picture, and he never said a word about it. Buzz Aldrin, who did a lot of talking about it, yeah. and when he'd talk about it, he'd get violently ill. Mm-hmm. Those stories that I've read, all of them, about whenever he'd start to talk about the Apollo missions, he'd get throw up and get ill. So whatever psychological mind control they had in those
psychotronics, right,
wasn't as good as it is now, because it's perfect right now.
So what's your take on that? What do you feel had happened with those astronauts?
A disinformation campaign. And as far as Apollo 17, that gap where they supposedly went into the secret Nansen, remember that crater, the Nansen crater,
yes.
and they didn't talk. It was all engineered. It was like Apollo 13. They had the problem, and everybody was worried if they'd make it back. It's all bullshit, and
right.
nothing happened.
Right.
One of the things that they don't talk about a lot is the NASA guy that was in charge of exposing all the deficiency of the Apollo program, and he and his family were killed by that train. Remember that train wreck that they had? And he was ready to testify before Congress. They killed him. They killed Gus Grissom.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing about Gus Grissom was he was killed on January 27th, 1967. And a month before that, he had made a comment to the United States or to the U.S. press standing at the command module, and he had hung a orange on, or lemon on it. And he said, this thing ain't going to the moon in two years. This thing ain't going to the moon in 10 years. Because he was an engineer and he knew right. how screwed up the program was. No possible way were they ever going to go to the moon. So they had to kill him. And the way they decided to do that was a fire. On January 27th, 1967. And what they did is they waited till the seal was completely closed. Then they had it triggered.
Right.
And Virgil Grissom's son has that trigger. Somebody gave it to him to show how his father was murdered. Now, the interesting thing about the Apollo 1 command module fire is there were four people in there. Now, usually it was the head of the Apollo program, and I'm trying to think of the guy's name. It seems to me his last name was like Lead or something like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, this guy had to be in Houston, so they put the fourth astronaut, who was an astronaut from the secret program. And that's why there's such a gap between the time that the fire was put out until NASA investigators were let in to get the bodies, because they had to go in and get that body out. So there's no questions about what's he doing, who's that?
That's what I'm saying, right.
So that took them, like an hour and a half to get in there, get the bodies of Grissom, White, and Chaffee up, get the other guy out, and then let them in.
How big is that base up there that they're built, making the D.D, and how many manned personnel are you aware of?
Up there?
Yeah.
It's between 1,000 and 1,500 astronauts, current and qualified, and most of them in orbit. So you could imagine there's all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah, it's a huge salvaging program, too. What is in store for humanity that is in relation to the moon, and where is it going?
Emery, you know what's great is we don't have to worry about that. All we have to do is live our life with integrity, without envy, hate, or greed. And having known you for, some time, I'm sure that you're in that. I know that I'm in that, and I know that I don't have to come back here again. So, it's just interesting. I'm pretty sure I'm here as a volunteer.
Yes.
To give information. I believe I've already passed my life review, and I'm just down here to give information to people the best that I can. I think I'm free. I'm pretty sure you are. I know a lot of people are down here on their last trip.
I feel the same way and go by the same standards of belief system. Thank you, John. It was always a pleasure to be here with you, and we'll be talking soon.
Looking forward to it. Take it easy, Emery.
Thank you.